Welcome to Health Hats, learning on the journey towards best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. I'm the Rosetta Stone of healthcare. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in the awesome circus of healthcare. Let's make some sense of all of this. I met Maria Zenidou in October 2018 during the Podcast Fellowship's first video call with 25 or more other people. How could that work? I've been on many video calls. Most people don't use their cameras. They barely pay attention. It's usually a PowerPoint screen sharing waste of time. Maria co-hosted the call. She immediately established a culture of listening, appreciating, and guiding engagement. Wow, I was impressed. I had seen the tip of the force that is Maria. Let me introduce Maria a bit more formally. After 20 years in product development, technology, innovation, and market roles on three continents, today Maria advises enterprises on their growth strategies through marketing, innovation, and merger and acquisitions. She also consults with private investment firms interested in the specialty chemical industry. Maria is a storyteller, a connector, a change maker, on a mission to empower people to design their learning journey and build the life and career they want. She posts on LinkedIn daily, and she is the host of the Impact Learning Podcast, where together with her guests, she explores the future of learning and work. During the time I was firming up my podcast, I changed my mission statement from empowering people traveling together towards best health to learn on the journey toward best health. That was inspired by working with Maria. During this podcast episodes, you will hear us talking about 60 seconds a day. Maria introduced 60 seconds a day to the ForwardLit community in May of this year. About 20 to 30 people worldwide post a 60-second audio clip every day and comment on some of each other's postings. It's a daily practice that supports improving technical audio editing skills, speaking skills, storytelling, development of ideas, strategy, and tactics. In short, learning, fun, and community. Here's our conversation. Maria, I'm so excited to be talking to you. You're one of my inspirations.
Why is that? Of course, I'm very happy to be here, but why am I your inspiration?
Well, I think it's a combination of that you're very thoughtful and you're a community builder. And you know stuff I don't know.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Maybe I feel like I have a lot I can learn from you. And I already have learned a lot from you. And you're so positive and encouraging of people and encouraging of me. And I like that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your words. I was looking forward to talking with you today, and I enjoy learning from you, learning together and seeing our work and all that. So I'm grateful that we met and that we are talking together.
I've been really looking forward to picking your brain about learning and about being CEO of my health. And I follow your Impact Learning, your podcast, your LinkedIn articles pretty closely. And I have the good fortune of experiencing 60 seconds of you every single day. Just to let everybody know, you began and host an initiative of an international group of people who post an audio clip, a 60-second audio clip every single day. And we've been doing it for months. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant for a lot of reasons. One, people are testing, they're learning, they're giving. So the range of the 60 seconds to me is people who are trying out solving technical problems with their audio. They're telling stories. They're trying out ideas. They're talking about their day. They're offering chair yoga. It's such a very interesting way. I find that I take the idea of 60 seconds in many different forums, whether that's in my music life or my consulting life or my advocacy, it applies. I find the intro to your impact learning so interesting, and maybe I'll include a clip of the intro, but it's something like, can learning transform your life? In the Impact Learning series, I share reflections, insights, and assertions about the way we learn, work, and live today and in the future. Maria, I forgot. I should have you introduce yourself.
I think you introduced me very well because I like to introduce myself through my work. I'm a PhD chemist who became a corporate executive in marketing and innovation. And a couple of years ago, I decided to become a freelancer. So I'm an advisor on marketing and innovation. And I advise corporations, but also investment firms on strategic growth strategies. Along with that, as you know, and as you talked about, I think, write, and speak everything impact learning, which is beyond learning and education. It is it's a posture towards learning everything we need to learn to do our work, but also have a good life.
Can you say some more about that? If, like, what are some of the principles, would you say, of impact learning? Mm-hmm.
So it's self-directed learning. As a person who owns my journey, my learning journey in this case, I explore the options, the resources that are available to me, and then I direct myself to make the right choices and learn what I need to learn. At the same time, it's learning by doing, and that's a very important part because we can learn a lot of things in theory, so we can accumulate knowledge, but it doesn't bring us benefit. It doesn't help us with our life unless we put this knowledge into work. So I believe in learning by doing and learning also through exploration. So again, we learn from other people. We learn by doing our work and we continue to explore options so we can improve what we know, but also the work we do. And I know, Danny, you asked about the way I think of learning, you think of health. But actually, I think they're almost the same thing. Because what I talk about, I'm like, I am the CEO of my life, of my work, of my learning, of the impact I create on other people, and of my health. By the way, health is the core of this, because if we are not healthy, we cannot do any of the other things I just talked about. Yeah. So it's the basic, but I think the principles, so self-directed learning, learning by doing the work, together with other people and creating impact are the key principles of impact learning.
I think you're right. You're using some different words than I use, but I think it's very similar. I came to this frame of CEO of my health, actually, some through listening to you and listening to what you just said about impact learning. And I think that owning our health, given our circumstances, our abilities, our environment, our genetics. You know, this is what we have to work with. This is the life we live. And so we have to have the best health we can given those circumstances. And I think that our taking leadership of our health is key to best health. And I define best health as peak performance, given what I just said, circumstances, genetics, medical conditions, environment. For the last 10 years, I've known that I have multiple sclerosis. And I probably had it 25 years before I was diagnosed. But now that I know that I have it, and I'm very mindfully the CEO of my health, I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm living at peak performance. Now, I might not have the same abilities as I had before. You know, MS is seriously annoying, and it affects my life in more ways than I'm going to get into here. But it gives me a charge to feel like I'm living at peak performance. And so to me, that's what best health is. And so much of that is experimenting, owning, trying stuff, adjusting, trying something else, just taking charge, building a team. That's the community. Mm-hmm. Of health. There's a community, whether it's medical people, non-medical clinicians, family, lay people, coaches, mentors, whatever. That's a team. That's a community. And all that goes into best health.
And then there are two things that I think they apply to health and learning and other topics that are independent of our, let's say, genetics, preferences, experiences, all the things that are part of who we are, but also our capabilities. And I think these are two things. Own our decisions. That's, to me, that's the CEO of our health. So own our decisions and be willing to do the work every day.
Yes, every day.
Every day I have a lower back. Not a severe, but quite severe to that I have to think about it every day, and I have to proactively manage it so it doesn't get worse. When I realized that unless I take full ownership of my decisions, I am responsible to find what's available in terms of resources, support, let's say healthy lifestyle habits I can adopt, but also be willing to do the daily practice and certain things that I do on a daily basis. These are the things that I need to do to be able to maintain the health I have in terms of my lower back health, mm-hmm. and also try to slow down, slow it down from getting worse. It is getting always more more severe because we all age. We cannot escape that, right? So very few things get, very few things get better with age. Okay, a few things get better and we're grateful for that. But physical, like body, strength, memory, ability to learn, all these other things, we know that they are slowing down as we become older. So I think it's important that we own this, and we own it, but also we explore it. We never give up on, we need to keep learning, keep exploring and figuring out how to do what we need to do and then commit to doing the work every day because we cannot escape that.
A couple of things interesting. One is building habits, which is really hard, I find, for people. I'm a person that, I don't know why, but I can do it, a lot. Because of my MS, it is very hard for me to get up off the floor. It's a dangerous situation for me to be on the floor and not be able to get up. And I've learned that there is stuff I can do that's going to help me. You know, I have a physical therapist who taught me some skills and some exercises so that it is more likely that I can get up off the floor if I need to. So in a way, I have immediate gratification from my habits, having good habits. When I think about best health, I think about, so there's me owning my health and building the habits and living at peak capacity. And I'm a person of privilege. And I am blessed. I'm health hats, you know, I'm a patient, I'm a caregiver, I'm a nurse, I'm an informaticist, I'm a healthcare leader, I'm a white man. You know, I have a lot going for me. And so I feel like part of my calling is to be a catalyst for other people to experience best health. And one of the things that I see you doing, which I think is so fascinating, is that you seem to create these situations like the 60 seconds a day that make it fun to create good habits, that make the good habits inertia. Sometimes I think what stands in the way of good habits is inertia, but I think that you're very clever at creating these scenarios where people can develop a habit. And it isn't like the way you do it is you go, oh, that habit of yours really sucks. Here's a better habit, like somebody saying, you're fat, go on a diet. You know, have a new diet habit. You know, this is not your style. Your style is to introduce something. You make no comment about anybody's anything, but you introduce a habit and people are quite attracted to those habits. And they're sound and solid habits. And I think there's something to learn from you that you do that. You're very good at it.
Thank you for that. Let me ask, okay, let's take the 60 seconds because I think it's a very good example. So the 60 seconds started for me first because I think that's an important thing. So because I had a problem, I realized that it was taking me a lot of time to record. I did not like so much how I was articulating my thoughts. I did not like my voice. So there were things that I realized very early on, actually just 3 weeks after I launched the Impact Learning podcast, that I needed to practice. There are other people that they love their voices or they have a beautiful way of articulating their thoughts. That was not me. So I had a problem, right? On April 11th, I remember the day this year, I started recording every day so I could get comfortable the way I'm very comfortable with writing. You and I know that, right? So I wanted to be comfortable with recording my voice and speaking to the mic the way I am with writing because I've been writing for a long time. And then I'm also trying to break down like the process. So I started with a problem. I needed to fix my problem. I already knew that to develop skills, I need to do something every day. And this is not something that I invented. We all know that, but I had seen it before with other things, including how I manage my lower back condition. Then I thought, if this is helping me, because in a couple of weeks I realized that it was helping me and I was much more comfortable, then I thought within our community, within our podcasting community, let me share it with them because I think it can help others. But this is why I don't offer it as, here is the framework, here is what you need to do, and please do this. My approach is more about, here is a practice that has helped me. Could it be useful for you? Because I don't believe, Danny, to be honest with you, whether it's learning, health, anything, I don't think if we tell people what to do, they will do it. I think it's what we call showing them what it is, like offering this resource or this practice, make them aware, perhaps show them the way so it's not so complicated to do it. But then they need to decide, because each of us, going back to being the CEO of our health and our learning and our life, each of us need to own our decisions. Whether I'm a coach in the podcasting fellowship, whether I'm a fellow podcaster, it's the same role I play. Here is one practice that can help you. It helped me in these two or three ways. Maybe it will help you in other ways. Would you like to join us? I do love building community, because I think it's easier when we share our journey, right? It's so much enjoyable. It gives me so much joy to be part of the 60 Seconds a Day. But I did not start it like, okay, let's do something fun. Oh, I have a great idea. Let's do it. It was not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I think then each of us can do these things. And I think what you talked about, so you have been managing your health, an MS, which is a challenging situation. And by telling your story and sharing what you know, resources you find, and other stories, you are a catalyst. Basically, that's all we can do. I think if we believe we can create change because we tell others what to do, I think this is not the case. I think being a catalyst is the best we can hope for. That's my posture.
Yeah, it's so true. In my world, the health industrial complex, so there's a lot of haranguing. Do this, do that. This is good. This is bad. It's strikingly ineffective. And it amazes me that so many bright people think that that's the way to better health, is to harangue people about what they ought to do and to have judgment about people. And so what you're describing is leading the way by example, sharing. It's interesting. In my communities, there's people who have some pretty amazing lived experience. They've overcome real challenges, and it's inspiring. But the difference between people who are really effective advocates, in my view, are people who don't really have the expectation of changing anybody, but they're very free with their story and they're an amazing example. Lately, as I've been interviewing people for my podcast, I hear a lot of planting a seed, that sometimes the best you can do is plant a seed, and who knows if it'll grow or not, and it does or it doesn't. And there's no immediate gratification. You planted a seed, up comes the sprout, it's beautiful, it grows, blah, blah. It often you'd have no idea. You know, you'll never see the sprout.
I want to go back and talk a little bit. You said for some people, it's very easy or simple to see that they can own their health and they can own their life overall. And for others, it's not, because it's all about the experience we've had before. So let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you decided to become the CEO of your health, was that something that basically you decided first time when you were diagnosed with MS? Or do you think you had already made a decision to own, to be a CEO of your life, of your family, of your relationships? When did this start? Because I think that's why I have more empathy for people who don't know how to do that, Danny, because I think we probably know because of our experience. This is where I want to get.
Yeah, I think I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were Holocaust survivors, and they clearly worked very hard to own their lives. Sometimes they were successful and sometimes they weren't, but they instilled that in us, that we had choices and make the choices, and they supported us in sometimes some pretty bad choices that we made. I think your point is really good, that there's a smaller proportion of people who that's their DNA or their upbringing or whatever. And then there's a much larger group of people that it isn't. As you and I have talked about in the past, our education system in and of itself is not very supportive of self-directed, self-owned learning. And our healthcare system isn't either. So the challenge is often how to be a catalyst for people who don't know that it's an option.
That's beautiful. I could not have said it better. I think being catalyst, because that's the best we can do, is to, first of all, tell our story, to explain to people that this is feasible. This is possible, right? I was able to overcome this constraint and the other one and keep moving my life forward, and then teach them, usually by showing them, but teach them in a simple way that they can do it too. I don't think it takes a high IQ to keep learning and leveraging resources. We don't have the same capabilities and intellect, but we can all get better by practicing and learning. And we can all improve our health if we adopt a healthy lifestyle, if we walk, if we eat healthy, if we do our exercises, whatever we need to do for each of us. But I think we can all get better, not all of us, you know, compared to each other, but for each of us, we can improve where we are and we can continue to improve our lifestyle and our health overall. And I think if we show through our story and then in a simple way teach them how to do it, I'm hopeful that we can at least influence a few people. And that's, well, that's the best I can hope for my work.
And now a word from our sponsor, Abridge. Learning to be CEO of your health? Push the big pink button and record the conversation with your healthcare professional. Read the transcript or listen to the clips when you get home. Abridge was created by patients, doctors, and caregivers. Check out the app at abridge.com, ABRIDGE.com, or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your healthcare conversations. Let me know how it went.
That's one of the nice things for me about being seasoned. I am no longer the young enthusiast who thinks he can change the world. I was at one point, but I'm not now. And my goals are more modest. My goals are several people steering the battleship to move it 1 degree to the left or right. My objectives are modest these days. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from being seasoned and, or as I like to say, old.
Yes, but also it comes. we're all going down the same path, Danny. Sooner or, you know, like it's, we cannot avoid it. But clearly, what you said is one thing. But it's, you know, it's age, it's years of experience. That's what it is, which can come sooner for some people, later for others. It depends on how our mm-hmm. life is. But it's also the ability to be what I call down to earth and realistic. So the best thing that has happened to me over the last 20 years, probably, that I joined the workforce and started to see how the world is that I stopped being like too visionary about the change I can make with my work or with my leadership. My leadership has not changed. And I want to believe that my leadership skills are becoming, you know, stronger and more impactful. However, I am more realistic right now about the impact I can do. And I'm sure as, you know, in 10 years and 20 years, this reflection will continue to evolve. Now that I know what I know, which I did not know 20 or 30 years ago, I am aware of what my influence and my impact can be. And mm-hmm. that's why, I'm not going to change the world. Mm-hmm. I can change myself first and hopefully, again, mm-hmm. through telling my story and teaching others and helping in very small and simple steps, others can also decide to change their lives. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
Some of us have more resources, right? Because if I had a lot of free resources to offer, I would. I'm offering also the resources, so my podcast and your podcast and the other things we do, coaching, consulting, all the other things we do, are ways that we can actually teach, serve, provide the resources that we have at our disposal.
As you've heard me say in previous podcast episodes, the foundation of my work, my mission, is health equity. Everyone has the same opportunity for best health. Best health and impact learning both struggle with equity and privilege. At first, our concept of privilege seemed different, then not so much.
One of the things that I've realized over the years is I used to be ashamed of my privilege. I grew up in all different places, but one of the places I lived in high school was a place called Grosse Pointe, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, which is upper middle class, upper class communities. And for years, really until 5 years ago, or even less, I wouldn't tell people I lived in Grosse Pointe because I was ashamed of it. But I've realized that, okay, I'm a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege, and I'm health hats. And I am invited, or I invite myself, to sit at a lot of different tables related to national healthcare initiatives. And I feel like, okay, I'm a person of privilege. I have this seat. And I'm one voice, and I'm only one voice. I have my experience, I have my knowledge, I have whatever it is I have to offer, and part of my responsibility, being a person of privilege, is to try to open seats for more people with different experiences than I have. And that's been very liberating to realize that, hey, I am what I am. This is who I am. What can I say? And what can I do with it? And so I feel like part of best health and best health for my community is to leverage the gifts I have.
Yeah. I have two questions. So yeah. why and how did you develop the story in your head that you have a privilege? Where does this come from?
Well, actually, in my last real job, I was a vice president of quality management for an organization, and I hired several women from diverse backgrounds. In my mind, I was hiring the best people present in front of me. So one day, somebody came into the office and congratulated me on my diverse hires. And I didn't like that. And I said, I just hired the best people. I have a great team. And the people I hired sat me down and had a very serious conversation with me that you do not realize how hard it has been for us to find good work. And you hired us, and you have leveraged your position to hire us. So do not minimize that. And I was taken aback. That was shared with me. I was talked to. I mean, they literally sat me down, stood, and talked to me and said those things. And I left that thinking, oh my goodness. Okay, I am a person of privilege. Be proud of it and use it and be mindful of using it. And so it was the first time I really thought about what I had. I didn't have that frame before until they sat me down and talked to me and said what they said.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I hear now, Danny.
Okay.
You know, the privilege you have is how you leveraged your resources, you know, power, title, or what I call resources available.
Resources aren't just money and materials.
Yes, of course, you know, resources is if I have a title and I'm a vice president, so people listen to what I say. So, but I try to put them in a much broader frame, right? But I think your privilege, being a white man and a vice president, would not give you a privilege, in my eyes, unless you are able to turn constraints upside down and leverage resources to benefit yourself and others. Because to me, and again, I may have a different opinion than most of the people have, there are people who believe they have privilege, but if they don't leverage it in any way to move themselves and others and society forward, to me, that's wasted. And I don't call it a privilege because it's wasted resources.
Well, that's interesting. You know, when I was a boss, I felt like the most important job I had as a boss, which is a position of privilege, is to make sure that the people who were on my team had all the resources they need to do their jobs. And then I got shit out of their way so that they could do their jobs. And really, I felt like those were the two most important things I did.
Yeah, and I can say exactly the same thing. So I wanted to become a vice president, not because the title sounds good, which it does, but because I had access to resources and I could influence decisions. Mm-hmm. Choose the right human beings to do the right kind of job. So I just wanted to be in a leadership role and in the corporate system that I was part of. Being a vice president gave me access to these two things, decisions and resources. But this is how I use my privilege, because I also know others, white, black, women, men, gay, who have the same resources and privilege that you and I had as vice presidents, but they don't use them. So where is the privilege? You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do.
I guess I connect the privilege with impact. What are you doing? Yeah. Like for me, tell me what you're doing with the privilege, with your title, with your resources, with whatever you have at your disposal. What are you doing? If you are not using it, it is an asset that is not growing, going back to seeds. So is an asset that's not growing and eventually degrading until the person, you know, dies, is that an asset? No. Is that a privilege? No.
Okay.
Maria and I spoke about my ambivalence about using the frame of CEO of my health. Best health comes from taking control, being in control of my life. But sometimes being CEO feels negative, oppressive, a lousy boss perhaps. I love how Maria parsed this for us.
Let's break it down. I'm a patient and I have a health condition and I have relied on certain experts or doctors to help me and they have not kept their promise for whatever reason,
Mm-hmm.
So how do I think about it now? What do I do? What do you see? Am I stuck? Am I waiting for someone else to come and save me? Or do I think, you know what? If someone has not kept their promise and someone else is just increasing their costs because that's what they want to do and they may want to make money out of my situation, should I think about a better way to manage this, which is I'm going to be the CEO of my health so I can own my decisions and make the best decisions for my life and health. What is, and I'm asking because you know where I am, right? I'm the CEO of money, my life, my work and everything, but you have experience with patients that I don't. So what is holding them back from saying, you know what? It's time for me to be a CEO of my health.
I think it's inertia and experience. It is not something they're familiar with. They want a pill. Give me a pill. I need a silver bullet.
Okay. But is it because they don't know how to do it or they don't trust themselves based on their experience that they can do it? Or is it because they want a pill so they can avoid doing the work themselves?
I think it's all of those things. I think it's different for different people.
Have you seen one being more important than the other, Denny?
No.
Okay.
No. I think that's the beauty of this work is that there's such variety that the opportunities and challenges are so different and they're individual. But I think your categorization is sound. Aren't aware of it, don't know how, and don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Sums it up nicely. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's the same for learning.
And it's the same thing. So it's the fear, and the fear, it has to do with experience. Everything I think is defined by our experience. So the fear towards learning something new,
mm-hmm.
Whether we want to advance our work or we want to improve our health, it's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we realize and we decide that we can do it, mm-hmm. then we commit to doing the work. And to me, there are two different buckets, but also they are part of the same journey. Because first the person needs to overcome their fears and believe they can do it. And this is where experience helps us, but also sometimes prevents us from moving forward. And as soon as they decide, yes, I can be the CEO of my health, then it's the commitment and the promise. Now I promise I will do the work because nothing matters until we do our daily work. It doesn't matter unless you stretch and you walk every day and you eat healthy. It doesn't matter how smart you are and how fearless you are. And the same for me and everybody else who is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because we can help people, or you can help people as a catalyst, perhaps in different ways based on the stage of their journey.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's really important. So part of the art of this is reading where people are on the journey. And then tailoring. I think this Akimbo community that we're part of is a bubble. It is not a typical community. So it's important for me because I need to get sustenance myself. You know, I'm a very strong character in all sorts of the definitions of that word.
Can I just laugh out loud? Of course.
Yeah. but in terms of my own, so I feel like I need to have a large proportion of my day participating in a nurturing, growth, challenging community. And whether that's Forward Link or whether that's at home with my wife or with my kids and my grandkids, or my very dear friends, that helps me stay strong so that I can spend a relatively small proportion of my time in the sort of scary, not so together, challenging world, and feel like I can offer myself and have an impact.
But what you're saying, Dennis, I think to me that what you just said tells me that you are the CEO of your health, because you understand very well, like, that you have a certain level of energy. You use a lot of this energy when you are trying to create change in the world, in the real life situations that you are dealing with. And then you come back to the places that you mentioned, your family, your friends, your community, the Akimbo community, the 60 Seconds community, so you can refill these reservoirs yes. back. And to me, what you just talked about is the fundamental of how we manage our health. And that's physical health, emotional, mental. It's
spiritual. Health. Yep.
It's spiritual. It's all aspects of health. And I use it, everything you said, you basically talked for me as well. That's exactly how I use what I call this kind of communities that do, and our families and our friends that we have privilege to be part of them, to do exactly that. Because creating change is difficult.
It is.
Let me ask you, do you think it's getting better? Like, the more experienced you are, or does it get better?
No, I really don't, actually.
Me neither.
I feel like I'm very fortunate that that doesn't get me down too often. I recharge and I have this energy, and the energy keeps coming, even though, no, I'm very pessimistic. I'm a pessimistic about the climate. I'm pessimistic about our healthcare system. I'm pessimistic about politics. Being the child of Holocaust survivors, I have a mix of apocalyptic thinking and pathological optimism. Mm-hmm. But it's no fun. I can't live in that apocalyptic thinking too often. It's like, oh my God, it's paralyzing.
Yes. When we think of a CEO, as you and I know it in corporate, right?
Okay.
Okay. So what does a CEO do? He or she does not do all the work, but they make the strategic decisions of where, you know, the company, is going to go, which market we will enter, where we will create the most value. And then together with their teams, basically, they are making things happen. So when we are managing our energy, like you said, and we see a lot of things that politically, economically, and other reasons, they are not going to help us, I think it's where the CEO makes the right decision. Am I going to work on this or on the other thing? Or am I going to invest in this organization or conference or community or person, or am I going to the other one? I think being realistic and down to earth, I'm very optimistic, but I can tell you that there is very few things that give me hope every day. Most of the things don't. Yeah, because I think it's a good thing, right? This is why I always say being optimistic means that I want to see a way forward. I'm not seeing everything here like beautiful and, you know, pinky. I don't see things better than they are. I actually see them exactly as they are. Well, at least this is what I think. But so the question I think is, Danny is as the CEO of our health or as a catalyst to create change, how do we make these decisions? Like where we invest our effort and our time, but also the people that we can create change. And I am asking this as a question because I think it's the most difficult question we have to ask to answer.
It is. All right. I'm going to leave it at that.
I was hoping you would give me an answer, but you didn't.
I don't have an answer. I'm at a loss, Maria. That's a very hard question.
Okay. So what gives you hope? Because we talked about a lot of things that don't give us hope. What gives you hope to keep going?
Okay. What gives me hope is that every day I see growth, small pockets of growth. I see people doing good work. I'm inspired. Like you inspire me. That gives me hope that there are other people out there who are working to move in a good direction. I think life is so mysterious, and I cannot predict what is going to be the lever that makes a significant change in a community, the world, the nation, whatever. I just don't know. But I do know that it's going to come from people who are doing the work and who are taking charge of their lives and supporting other people doing the same. And I see evidence of that. I see it in my grandkids. I see it in my kids. I feel like there's hope in that. And so, and it's everywhere. It's just like little dots.
Yes. Yes. And, I everything you said, you talked about growth.
Yeah.
And you talked about earlier in our conversation, you talked about seeds.
Yeah.
So your grandson actually, literally, you know, they're your seeds. They come from your children. So they are your really seeds, but also everybody that you are influencing with your work. Mm-hmm. Are also your seeds. If they choose to take an action based on what they learned from you or something they a resource they got from you, if mm-hmm. they are choosing to use that to grow, that's all we can do. That's all we can do. And the tough choice is to be able to make these decisions almost every day and every week to find what I call the promising seeds. That they will, no qualifications or standards, just seeds that we think we keep watering so they will grow.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for this conversation.
Thank you. I always learn so much from you, and I love talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's mutual.
Same
Thanks,
for
Maria.
Me. Thank you, Danny.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm not sure who interviewed who. I guess we interviewed each other. What have we talked about here? We talked about learning. Maria had a problem. She figured out how to develop a habit that worked for her. She shared it with no expectation that anyone would change or adopt it. Yet a whole community did. She leads by example. She's a catalyst. We talked about owning our decisions. Doing the work. We talked about planting seeds and about the responsibility to use our privilege to make a difference. And we talked about taking care of ourselves, recharging, so we have the energy to plant seeds and be a catalyst. Impact learning. Follow my blog, podcasts, and resources through my website. See you around the block.